Zurich is a melancholy and lonely place on a cold autumn Sunday morning. I took a train and two trams from Rapperswil to a leafy suburb south of Zurich through largely empty streets where the only sounds were church bells, chirping birds, and the rattling of trams on their tracks to see the Grasshopper Tennis Club, a venerable establishment where Roger often trains. I had to hike up a series of steep streets from the tram stop, and my Achilles screamed at me along the way. Using tidbits I picked up from René Stauffer's Federer biography, Quest for Perfection, tips from interviews and other research, I identified a dozen or so clubs around the country that I wanted to check out. At Grasshopper, I was scheduled to meet Marko Budic, a former professional player who is a board member at the club. I had brought my tennis gear in the hopes that we could hit some balls, but I wondered if my aching feet and legs were up to the task. I arrived 20 minutes early for the meeting, and the club, situated next to a botanical garden in a neighborhood of million-franc mansions, was empty. There were 5 red clay courts and 1 hard court, and the club's logo, a small Z inside a larger C and an even bigger G, was meticulously sculpted into a grassy hill next to the courts. The front door to the club was open, and a collection of rackets, most with broken strings, were hung on a wall near the entrance. A plaque commemorating the upcoming 2023 100-year anniversary of the club adorned a wall near the door. There were hoppers full of balls and a neat stack of towels with the club logo in the unlocked vestibule. Apparently, no one at the club was worried about theft or vandalism. An old man with a dog stopped by and asked me a question I didn't understand in German. He repeated the question, as if I might better understand his German on the second time around, to no avail. Growing frustrated, he walked into the vestibule of the club, reached into one of the hoppers and grabbed a tennis ball, which he then tossed for his dog. Apparently, he wanted my permission to take a ball and then decided he didn't need it. Marko pulled up right on time in a dark, late-model BMW. We had to sit at a table outside in the 50-degree chill to eat the pastries I brought because he didn't have the key to the club's cafe, which was closed for the season. A fit, tall man with short-cropped hair who looked fit enough to still be on the pro tour, Marko told me that he played on the ATP Futures circuit in the 90s for 3 years. Now, 43 and working for Credit Suisse, he still plays tournaments. "I'm ranked 150 in the country and number 2 for those above 35," he said. "Wait, you're number 2 for over 35s and Roger is number 1?" I asked. "No, no, Roger is not included in those rankings," he said. "But I did play him once, in doubles. It was in a challenger tournament back in 1997. He was playing with Yves Allegro at the time." "Did you win?" "No, no," he said, laughing. "We lost." "Too bad," I said. "It would be awesome to be undefeated against Roger." "I know. Raj doesn't remember the match, but I do." Budic said that when Roger wants to train on one of their clay courts, they usually put him on court 3 because it's the only court that stands alone. "But it's funny, when he plays on the other courts, which have courts next to them, people don't use those courts," he said. "We don't tell them they can't, they just don't. It's like they don't want their balls going on his court." "It would be a little awkward to have to say, 'Hey Roger, a little help, wouldn't it?" "Absolutely," Budic said.